Welcome to another edition of the WIPOD, where we highlight everyday Wyoming leaders. This episode features Darren Bulow, the founder of Casper Comedians Care. We talk about how he went from being a scientist to being a comedian, what it's like to work on the craft of comedy, and how they use comedy to help businesses and nonprofits in our community. Hope you enjoy listening even a part as much as we enjoyed recording it. Here we go with Darren Bulow.
My name is Darren Bulow. I am the hunting and fishing comedian, and I am the founder of Casper Comedians Care.
The hunting and fishing comedian?
Yes. So they tell you in comedy that you must do something you know. You can't fake what you do. So when I decided to be a comedian, I said, I have to do what I know. And because I hunt and fish a lot, everything that I do is about hunting and fishing. And that's what it is. So I have a unique niche. And my goal all along was to do comedy and raise money for hunting and fishing organizations. It hasn't worked out that way. It's went in a completely different direction. I would still like to work for them, but that's not where we're going right now.
When you say you have a passion for hunting and fishing, it's not a casual, I like to do this. You're really excited about hunting and fishing.
No, I fish literally every weekend that I'm not doing comedy. I also hunt 20 to 60 days a year, so it's continuous. So this is a lifestyle. It's who I am.
And what is it, because obviously we're going to talk about the comedy, but because we're talking about this now, what is it that you find so enjoyable, or what is it that draws you so much to hunting and fishing?
It's being in nature. It's the one thing where if I'm fly fishing, I'm totally concentrated and I don't think of anything else. There's nothing else in my mind. When I'm hunting, it's the same way. My dad says I caught my first bass when I was 18 months. And I started shooting at age probably 4 or 5.
Could you tell us a little bit about your background?
I grew up in a small town in Iowa. My dad was an immigrant from Denmark. He was a farmer. My mom was a beautician. I loved growing up in a small town. It wasn't that I didn't fit in. It's just that I had my own path. I did things different. I have to realize, and most comedians will tell you this, they're different than everybody else. They always were. And what the weird thing about it is I could never do public speeches. I was afraid. So in high school, even in college, after college, I couldn't do that. So when I went to University of Wyoming, I got a job in Cheyenne as a chemist. I worked there for 10 years. I met my wife, and then she had a business here in Casper, and I moved up here. And for most of it, I've either worked in chemistry or I've worked in sales.
People would naturally say, if you're trained as a chemist, you should be a comedian.
Yeah, it's not the personality type that you need, really. And like I said, when I got into this, my wife was very good about this and supporting me. And she said, you have to go to Toastmasters and you have to become a speaker. I could not. I had decided to be, it started on New Year's. And on New Year's Eve, 10 years ago, going on 10 years ago, we write down, I always admire my wife because she has her own business. So I wanted to start my own business. So I wrote down all these things on the top of the list. I thought, well, I'm funnier than that guy. I want to be a comedian. And the first thing my wife said was, you need to erase that off your list. And I'm bullheaded. So that's what I decided to do. So that's how I actually got into comedy, was my bullheadedness said, I can do this.
For those of us who've never done stand-up comedy, I think a lot of us are nervous about things like public speaking, just like you said. A poll years ago said it was number one on Americans' list of fears was public speaking. Do you still remember the first time you actually did live stand-up?
I've done over 100 shows. Some of them have been, you know, a festival here. There's a downtown street thing here. I would just get up in front of people and start doing it. And it's kind of blurred. I tried to look back and find out when I did the first time. I don't even remember. And it's embarrassing because it's 10 years ago. And then 2014, I wasn't getting enough shows, so I created them. It's called the Barbecue Comedy Tour. It's backyards, basements, and Quonset huts. And I just went to people's yards. I advertised that time in Facebook, and I would say, here, I'm open. So I would go from yard to yard to yard to yard, just doing parties, getting repetition.
Doing the work.
Doing the work.
Do you enjoy the craft or the process?
It's so much fun. It's hard work. It is. You have to put in time. And I used to hear from other comedians that it would take you 100 shows. But there's so much more to comedy than just that. I can do an hour show now. But there's so much more to it. One of the big things is writing. I'm probably at 350 pages. I probably would have made more money if I wrote a book. Sometimes you can write a joke, and we just did an open mic, and there's a joke that I've been working on for 5 years. I go back and look at this joke, and I try it at open mics, and it never works. And I'm in the shower getting ready for the open mic, and I said, I know how I'm going to do this. I'm going to make it an audience participation joke. And it's about a real guy in my hometown named Booby Ooblets. I don't even know his real name. Everybody in my small town called him Booby Ooblets. And I would do the joke, and no one would laugh. Well, I made up audience participation, and I would make them say Booby Ooblets. There's nothing wrong with it. That's his name. It's nothing derogatory. But the crowd blew up over the weekend.
Constantly making little tweaks and adjustments. That actually does sound to me similar to a technical mindset like chemistry.
It is, because it's always tweaking it. And even though I said Booby Ooblets, it's pretty generic. I don't do dirty comedy at all. And there's a couple reasons. One, I'm a Christian, so it just doesn't fit me. Two, people who use swear words or sexual connotations in a joke, a lot of times the laughs that they're getting is nervous laughter. It's not true laughter. And sometimes it makes people feel uncomfortable. It just isn't my genre.
I would imagine that also gives you more depth and variety of potential audiences. You're going to backyards. You can go to any backyard and be clean, but if you're going to go to a backyard and be blue, you have to be careful about who's in the audience.
Yeah. We're getting ready to do stuff for kids with cancer and their families. I can go to a church. But the big thing is I can do corporate events. And the thing that people don't understand is so many comics want to do blue comedy or off-color comedy. And what's weird is, we're getting to the point where I work with my partners or myself. If I book a show, I can make more in one show than comics in Denver can do working for a week. Because a lot of it's marketing and stuff that we do and that we built on. But there's an entire audience that I can do insurance show. I can do a corporate show. I can do conventions. And that's right up until Corona happened. That's who I was marketing to.
You're in a backyard, you're at a nonprofit event, you're at a corporate event. Are those audiences radically different, or are they largely the same?
They're completely different. And one of the things that I've tried to do is, good comedy is good comedy. So my comedy show for kids that are 8 or 9 years old, 10 years old, or a backyard, or a corporate event, or a nonprofit, my set is exactly the same. Never have to change it. And one of the things that makes that good is I realize that my comedy is good, that no matter what genre I'm in front of, it works.
And do you enjoy any of the groups differently? Like, are their reactions different for you? Or, again, is that for you kind of plug and play? They're all pretty much the same for you.
The shows are exactly the same. The reactions, sometimes the reactions are can be different and in different parts of the jokes. But a lot of this is because it's been crafted. So everything's the same. But the weird thing is, so we did a show and the lady's a vegan and I'm a hunter and fisher. She says, I've never laughed so hard in my life. I've accomplished my job because I did that. Because it's not offensive. It's just funny.
When you think about comedy like a job, I think it's radically different than the way the general public or people like me think about it, where we think about it like entertainment. And there is an entertainment aspect, obviously, for us. There's also a business aspect for you.
One of the big things that you have to do is you have to, whatever business you were in, you are providing a benefit. So whether it be a nonprofit, a bar, a hotel, you have to be able to tell them, how am I helping you? How can I charge you money and you get things back? So everything that I do as far as the business section is, I can tell a hotel or a bar or a restaurant, I can say, this is your average Saturday night. This is what you make. On all the clients we've had, they average this much more when we show up. It's an easy sell because they're making more money.
If you're not working with a bar, a nightclub, let's say you're working with a nonprofit, you align your goals with theirs as well.
Originally, what happened is it took 250 calls, emails, and visits to get somebody to say yes. What we provide for them is a couple things. I have a blueprint, literally, that is starting a month out. This is how you do your marketing. This is how you do your fundraising. This is how you do your ticket sales. This is how you do your raffles. This is how you do everything. They have a step-by-step booklet that they can basically step into. It's a plug and play. I won't say that all of them followed it, but the ones that have followed what we have said, we made up to $14,000 for a nonprofit. That's a big deal.
In that sense, you're not just selling an entertainment plug and play. We'll show up and we'll make people laugh. That is an aspect of it, but it sounds like so much more. And I think that's radically different than the way most people approach selling their X, selling my comedy, selling my service, selling my product. What led you to that partnership kind of thought process?
The whole idea of a partnership is, again, if when you're in a business and you're treating it as a business, you have to show them the value. We do radio spots for every nonprofit, for anybody. We'll do TV spots. We're going to do press releases. We have those prearranged. We have a marketing plan. We do the PSAs. Everything is done for them. And we do that up front. And it takes more work. It's more than just getting up on stage. But by doing that, I also realize that every time that I do the information, the more money they make, the better the letter of recommendation that we get. So it's a self-fulfilling thing. It's putting more work up front than just the hour of comedy. So by helping the nonprofit, making them money, creating a partnership with them, when I go to a venue, we're doing that same thing. Everything's a partnership. Because if it's just me taking, it's doing that other business or that other entity no good.
Selling in Wyoming is very different. People in Wyoming don't necessarily like to be sold to. And the other thing that I hear in what you're talking about is you're not push selling to other people. You're genuinely trying to help them.
Originally, we did everything for free because we had to develop a reputation. Now we have that reputation and I can approach them and we have pictures with checks. And you can see the check. When somebody goes on either our Facebook page, Casper Comedians Care, or they go on DarrenBulow.com, and they see a picture of this big check and you're a nonprofit, you realize you're still making a lot more money than they could probably make at any other fundraiser.
You obviously get excited about both the comedy and the business side of things. There's also a giving back aspect to the community, Casper Comedians Care. Could you talk a little bit about some of the community projects you've been involved with?
We started out with American Cancer Society. One of our comedians, we have two other comedians, Don Haynes and Matthew Freas. Don Haynes had one foot in the grave. He had leukemia. He had a 5% chance of living. He lived. So that was one of the first groups we approached. So we did something for the American Cancer Society. And that money that they use stays in Wyoming. And guess where it goes? People who have cancer that can't get treatment here and need to go to Fort Collins or Denver, that money goes to that. Casper Mountain Biathlon Club. We partner with them. And again, I grew up a shooter, so that's a passion to me. But they have para-athletes, people that are remarkable that I got to meet through them. One guy's paralyzed. He has use of his arms. One guy only has one arm. They're remarkable people. They're also, I also tell them they need to be comedians because both of them that I met were fun. They're doing stuff for our youth. They're promoting that stuff. We did stuff for Mimi's House. Mimi's House within this community, and maybe worse now, there's 49 women ages of 16 to 18 that basically couch surf. They have no place to go. We're working with groups like that to make a difference.
If people want to follow you, talk to you about booking, talk to you about a way that they might partner with you to help raise money for an organization or for a cause. You mentioned a couple ways that they can both stay in touch with you and also get in touch with you. We'll put them in the notes. But again, if people want to stay in touch with you, what are some good ways for them to do that?
One of the ways is you can look up Darren Bulow on Facebook, or Darren Bulow, the hunting and fishing comedian. Two different Facebook pages. Also, you can look up Casper Comedians Care on Facebook and send us a message. I also have my own website that's darrenbulow.com, and it's all my hunting and fishing comedy, and you can see videos.
And in the name, Casper Comedians Care, someone might assume that you're only Casper, you only do events in Casper. Is that true, or do you do events across Wyoming?
We're going to Dubois. We're doing a show in Cheyenne. We're working on bookings in Gillette and Rollins and Sheridan. We were slated to do this before COVID. We were slated to do a 17-city tour of Wyoming, every town over 4,000, but that kind of fell apart. So we're basically partnering with either nonprofits or with just venues to do shows.
I appreciate not only the way you approach the comedy, having a family myself, it's tough to find clean comedians that you can listen to as a family. I also am thrilled to hear the way that you approach your business from a partnership, win-win type of attitude. And also the connection to charities is just phenomenal. It's a home run all the way around. Thank you for approaching things the way you do.
Well, and we, because of COVID, we had to find a different way because we love being on stage. And I saw something that said in Europe they were doing drive-in shows. So we partnered with Wyoming Food for Thought. We borrowed an FM transmitter, and we had people show up at the mall. And the mall, look, the mall and DK Holly will sponsor. I was doing a PSA, and they said, well, how are you going to know when we laugh? I said, beep your horn. It was the most incredible thing ever. Beeping of horns every time we laugh.
You're not just on pause waiting for it all to go away. I love that you're moving forward, always doing something.
I'm one of those people that we're always trying to innovate and make better. We always try to think different.
Love the way that you approach so much of what you do about your business. And thanks for doing this today.
Yep. Thank you so much.